standing up at this podium gives me an opportunity to repay a debt of gratitude to Rabbi Wein, a debt of gratitude that I'm sure I share with everyone in this room. My debt stems not only from the time that I spent in Rabbi Wein's shir and his class at his yeshiva in Muncie, but also to the friendship that I've been able to maintain, and for the fact that I don't think a day ever goes by wherein I don't live a lesson that I learned from Rabbi Wein. Rashi, the greatest of the biblical commentators, tells us that in the key moment of his life, when Yosef was about to succumb to temptation and to give in to the amorous advances of his master's wife, suddenly his father's image appeared to him, and that gave him strength to resist. And he pulled himself away and he ran out. Now, I'm no Yosef, but I've had that experience. I film a short video every week on the Torah portion of the week, the Parshat HaShavua, and the Jewish holidays. And it's meant to be watched and enjoyed by all types of Jews, observant, not observant, everybody in between, or at least that small minority of Jews who have that internet thinking in their homes. And I confess that I'm often sorely tempted to take a complicated or controversial passage or section or portion of the Torah and to dumb it down or whitewash it or to talk around it or to water it down. And every time that happens, an image appears in my head, and it's the image of Rabbi Wein, and he says to me, "Don't you dare. Don't you dare compromise the Torah. The Torah is enduring. The Torah speaks to every Jew in every generation. If you can't figure out how to teach it without watering it down or dumbing it down or compromising it, that's your problem. Spend more time and you'll figure out how to teach it. And teach it truly. And teach it in authentic fashion." So thank you. And happy birthday to Rabbi Wein, for me, for my family, and for everyone here. In looking back at a lifetime of achievements, we have to note that Rabbi Wein was the first to do tapes, then everyone followed. He was the first to do history books for Art Scroll. They became immensely popular. One of the first to do a newsletter. Many followed suit. He started the first weekend for an organization back in the 90s, and now that's spawned for so many different organizations, weekend after weekend, after Shabbaton, after weekend. He did the first history tours, and now you can't open up a Jewish publication without seeing advertisements for a half dozen history tours going on. His animated educational Rashi video that featured Spock, Leonard Nimoy, spawned imitators, and his signature Faith and Fate historical movie series has inspired and educated thousands. Famous, precious, firsts, groundbreaking outreach, but there's only one Rabbi Wein, often imitated, never duplicated. I'm told that Rabbi Wein once, during a visit, speaking tour in Johannesburg, South Africa, appeared for a Malava Malka, where he was to speak that evening. The hostess opened the door and she greeted him. She couldn't contain herself. She said, that voice, he's here. He's actually here. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that voice, the voice of Jewish history, is here tonight, and we're about to hear it. But before we do, we wanted to give Rabbi Wein a gift. As I've mentioned, the Cubs haven't won a World Series since 1908, so as much as we wanted to give him that, I don't see that being in the cards. So instead, we wanted to call up his son-in-law, Rav Moshe Teitelbaum, the Rav of Young Israel of Lawrence Cedarhurst, to make a presentation about Rabbi Wein's honor.
Thank you, Baruch. The story is told of a typical, healthy, middle American family, blessed with two sons, two boys, pre-adolescent, active, lively, troubled, difficult, and the parents just don't know what to do. And finally, mom says to dad, we've got to call the pastor. We've got to call the reverend in, and maybe he can sit the boys down and have a talk with them. They bring the pastor to the home. Now the boys are upstairs in their room. In their walk-in closet, they've got a clubhouse, the two of them. Call down the older son, this little 11, 12-year-old boy. Pastor sits him down, looks him in the eye. He says, son, where is God? Where is God? The child begins to tremble, doesn't know what to answer. He looks up, and then roaring, the pastor says again, where is God? The poor kid runs upstairs, charges out of the room, into his bedroom, into the closet, the clubhouse, turns to his brother, and he says, panting, God is missing, somebody stole him, and they think we did it. Much Torah is learned, even history studied, Jewish life lived, but we know that sometimes God is just missing. If in one sentence we sum up Rabbi Wein's lifetime achievements, it is that for so many, for tens of thousands of people, God is no longer missing. In their lives, in their study, in their every breath, the cognizance, the feeling, the presence of God. One of the great lessons Rabbi Wein has taught probably all of us, there where it's pleasant, there where there's righteousness and goodness all at once, that's the path. That's where you'll find him. That's where he'll come. So appropriately, beautiful gift in leather, talis and tefillin bag, emblazoned with that very pasuk, Dirachecha Darchei Noam V'chol Nisivoseha Shalom, the path of pleasantness and of peace that we wish you and bless you with, the path of peace and goodness you've put us upon, may we share walking many years together on that path with God.
You know that Lyndon Johnson had a favorite line that he used at testimonial banquets where he was honored. And he said that my mother would have appreciated every word that you said, and she would have believed it. But my mother of blessed memory told me at my bar mitzvah dinner, where people said nice things about me, she said, now you have something to live up to. So I don't know what to do with all of the good words that were said here tonight. I always say it's nice to hear them while you're still vertical, but I think that I still have a lot to live up to. And I hope that God willing, the Lord will grant me health and years to try and actually live up to some of them. In our time, two enormous events took place that have placed the Jewish people in the position that it is. One is that the entire generation of Jews, maybe more than one generation, was wiped out. And in that disconnect that was forced upon us, much was forgotten. somehow the connection to the past was severed. And we all know that it's very difficult to reconnect. So in the reconnection, some sort of world has been created that somehow reflects the past, but it is certainly not what the past was. The second thing that happened was that most of the Jewish people were struck by amnesia. Now, you knew a rabbi who people would come up to him and say, as often happens to rabbis, Rabbi, who am I? You know, you're supposed to recognize the person that prayed in your synagogue once 32 years ago. And he would answer, he said, oh, I'm so sorry that you're struck by amnesia. But that's what happened to the Jewish people. They simply forgot who they were. There are various combination of events that caused that to happen. So when I wanted to create Destiny Foundation, I thought to myself that the main project of our time would be to reconnect ourselves to the past, to a real past, not to an imagined one, and to somehow, to the extent possible, repair amnesia, repair the forgetfulness of the Jewish people. When the prophet Isaiah began his mission, and this is something that I would say in the yeshiva often, so he hears a voice in heaven that says, Esmi eshlach umi yelech lonu. Whom shall I send? Who goes for us? And the prophet responds. That's how he becomes the prophet Isaiah. And the Kotzker Rebbe says in his inimitable fashion that many people could have responded. Many people could have been the prophet Isaiah. But they didn't respond, and he did. So he said, Shlacheni, send me. I'll go. And then he said, but the problem is that I am not talented, and I live amongst an impure people. They're not going to listen to me. In effect, he echoed what Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Lord when he embarked on his mission. Moshe said, I'm not the man. Who wants the job? And he said, they won't listen to me. Hein lo yaminu li. You know, they read the Pew report. They're not going to listen. And the Lord said to him, you underestimate the Jewish people. Hey, ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. They have faith. They will listen. Your job is to talk to them. Your job is to do what I tell you to do. I remember that my father-in-law, of blessed memory, Rabbi Levine from Detroit, and I have here my beloved cousins from Detroit, the Torgos and Meyerfelds, Rabbi Levine would always tell me that the last words that the Chofetz Chaim told to him was he took his hand between his two hands and he said to him, Lazer Anishishoker, Lazer who comes from this world-known metropolis of Anishishok, Gay Red Faridin, you go and speak to the Jewish people. That's your job. They'll listen, they won't listen. It'll help, it won't help. That's not your job. Your job is to talk to them. So when my father-in-law was 85 years old, until then he had always spoken in Yiddish. and he was a fine orator in Yiddish. But he no longer had a Yiddish-speaking shul. And in the time-honored fashion of the pious, they would get up and walk out of the shul when he started to speak, because they all knew English. So when he was 85 years old, he called them together at a shul meeting, and he said to them, "Listen, I'm going to speak in English. My English is broken, it's accented, but I'm going to speak in English, and you're going to stay and listen." And for the next 11 years, that's what happened. And I said to him, "Pa, you know, the Lord always repays you, because now I have to speak in Hebrew." Broken and accented. Eze safa hu medaber. What language is he speaking? I tell him it's the Chicago accent. They shouldn't be disturbed. But he said, "Pa, you know what?" He said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "The Chafetz Chaim told me." He said, a few weeks before he passed away in his 96th year, he made a video for the banquet, the Beis Yehuda, to speak. Because the Chafetz Chaim told him that he's supposed to go and speak to the Jewish people. And to a great extent, again, proudly through our family, the Jewish community, the city of Detroit may have trouble, but the Jewish community has been revived to an extent that no one thought possible. I'm told the day school there has almost 1,000 students already. I remember it when it had 160, none of whom paid tuition. So he kept on telling me his story. He told me a few stories. Every time he would tell me the same story over again, I knew he was talking to me, but he was such a gentleman that he never wanted to talk directly to his son-in-law. So he told me stories, and I'm supposed to figure out what he meant. So I thought that maybe that's what I should do too. I should try and tell the Jewish people who they are. I should answer the voice that says, "Whom shall I send?" Then I thought, well, that's very presumptuous of me. Whom I? Why should I do it? There are greater scholars than me. There are more talented people. If they're not making history tapes, then why should I make history tapes? And then I remembered what Rabbi Yisrael Salanter told to his Talmud, Rabbi Itzalig Blazer. He sent him to be the Rav in St. Petersburg. St. Petersburg was, the Jewish community in St. Petersburg was very assimilated. And Rabbi Itzalig said to Rabbi Yisrael, he said, "Rabbi, I'm afraid to go there." And Rabbi Yisrael said, "Whom shall I send? Someone who is not afraid?" We can only send people who are afraid. But that does not in any way inhibit the necessity for sending. And therefore, many things happened on the way. I never imagined this dinner. I never imagined destiny to grow into what it grew into. Never imagined I would make movies. I would never imagine I would be on YouTube. I never imagined the internet. I have people from Saudi Arabia that send me notes. I think it's important to know. Just this week, there's a school in Cody, Wyoming, that doesn't have a Jew within 400 miles. And the eighth grade teacher assigned an assignment to the eighth grade social studies class regarding Judaism. And I get two students from Cody, Wyoming, wrote to me this week, and they listed 10 questions about Judaism that I should answer. I don't know how they got to me. So originally I didn't answer. And then they persisted. They sent me the second time, sent the third time the emails. And my wonderful office staff, without whom nothing could have happened, including tonight, so they insist on sending me emails that they receive. And I saw that they persisted, so I answered. And then I thought to myself, what in the world is going on? Why should an eighth grade teacher in Cody, Wyoming, give such an assignment? And why should these two, they're like 30 in the class, why these two? And if they wrote to me, then I should answer them. Because who knows? Who knows what happens down the line? The Destiny Foundation is based on the idea of Shlach Lachmecha al Pnei Amoy. We cast our bread upon the water. Kibarov Yomim Timtzayanu. Who knows where it ends up? It can end up with Mike. It can end up with other people. It can end up in Saudi Arabia. I don't know. But our task is to tell the story of the Jewish people, and in our world today, to the world as well. And Destiny is a small part of that mission. Small part of being able to tell that story. And one other point, and with that, it's been a long evening for me. The Jewish people are a small people. The world thinks that we're in the hundreds of millions. I always mention that, go tell him you can't get a minion from Ira, you know, but the world thinks we're in the hundreds of millions. Because how could it be? You're such a small people and you make so much noise. Because we're so small, we can't really afford all the luxuries that we are indulging in. Can't afford to write off anybody that's not just like me. We can't afford not to care about other Jews. The Navi Yeshayo heard, Mi Yelech Lonu, who goes for us? Us is pretty inclusive. It's not just my yeshiva, my synagogue, my way, my Rebbe. It's who goes for us. Who cares about somebody else? Who cares about others? And that has to also be rekindled. That memory has to be rekindled. Because that is what the Jewish world was built upon. That's our past and that's our future. So that's our sense of responsibility. Be responsible for others. Be responsible for the whole Jewish people. To tell the story to others. Not to be put off simply because others are not just like us, or not what they should be. I've had in my long years in the rabbinate many people that have come to me and said, you know, Rabbi, I know you don't think much of me because. And then the because I'm conservative, I'm reform, I'm this, I'm that, I'm that. And I always responded, I said, why do you prejudge me? And why do you prejudge yourself? How do you know what I think of you? Especially in our time, when we have suffered as we have suffered, we really can't afford this type of attitude and this type of divisiveness. So Destiny produces for the Jewish world. Our products are in over 350 schools here in North America alone. And many of the schools are not Orthodox. But they're the ones that pay for it. in Eretz Yisrael, in the land and state of Israel. We are part of the secular school system, not part of the religious school system. The religious school doesn't show the movie on Rashi, but the secular school system does. It shows it with Hebrew subtitles. The fact that it's in English is a boon in the state of Israel, because people there want to know English and prefer to hear it in English. So tens of thousands of Israeli school children at least have some connection to Rashi. As one Israeli told me long ago, he said, I thought that Rashi was the name of a street. I had no concept that there's a person behind the name of the street and what that person was. And one of the producers of the film, one of the animators, after he worked on the film, became a Shomer Shabbos, working on the film. Nobody preached to him. First of all, he didn't believe I'm a rabbi. I don't blame him. I don't play the part. But from working on the film, and another one said, I went home and I told my father that I'm working on a film on Rashi, and my father told me, you know, we're descended from Rashi. And all of a sudden, it began, you know, he's descended. So we have to try. And in each person, in his or her own way, is important and can contribute to this. We who are so wealthy, who have the Torah, who know what it is to be Jewish, who are blessed with Jewish families, we have to try and help the less fortunate amongst us. So there are great ads that are always placed in the newspaper for charity, to help the less fortunate. Well, the Jewish people are impoverished spiritually, and we have to try somehow and help them, each in our own way. And you cannot do it by shouting, and you cannot do it by rejecting. It's very difficult, and it goes against our grain. But we really have no choice. That's the message of our time. I want to personally thank everyone who came here tonight. Some people came from out of the country. Dear friends of mine, Alan Klein came from Sao Paulo, and Peter Faber came from Los Angeles, and Shweki came from Toronto, and people came from Norfolk. I'm amazed that people have nothing to do with their time. Green came from Zurich, you know. But that's the Jewish people. And in every community, there are people that they are the ones that make the difference. And I want to publicly thank again Elaine and Fagi and Brenda for what they have done for me over the years and what they've done for Destiny. It's impossible for me to express my appreciation and the worth that they have given to the cause and to the foundation. I'd also like to thank the caterer, Manny. The caterer is Greenwald. Applaud harder. We haven't settled the bill yet. But I want to thank Manny personally. Manny was the caterer for the weddings of our children. And I'd like to thank him for his patience in being paid. I think that we're even by now. But mainly I really want to thank each and every one of you. Friends, people, special quality that I have had the privilege of knowing and of being part of your lives. Talmida Yossi Mekulam, my students who now have given the teacher greater nachas by outgrowing the teacher in every respect. And my dear family, The Lord has blessed me and blessed me and blessed me. Katonti mikol hachasodim mikol haemes asher hatzisa zavdecha. And I hope that we will always meet at good and happy occasions, and that we will continue to do work on behalf of the Jewish people, on behalf of the State of Israel, on behalf of our future, on behalf of the greatness that lies within each and every one of us. And we'll be zoche together to see Jewish destiny fulfilled speedily and in our days. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
This concludes this lecture by Rabbi Beryl Wein. For information, please contact the Destiny Foundation at 1-800-499-WINE. That's 1-800-499-9346, or at our 24-hour fax, 845-368-1528. We can also be reached by email at info@jewishdestiny.com, and you can shop online at www.rabbiwine.com. Due to copyright laws, we kindly request that there be no duplication of this lecture except through the Destiny Foundation.